Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is called Dreams of Living the Rich Life. And what I want to do is preface this by saying when a lot of people think about the rich life, they think about someone who has a lot of money and living and traveling and doing the things you want to do. But there's all different ways of meaning of what is rich. And you can be rich in yourself. You can be rich in friends. You can be rich in a lot of ways in areas that a lot of people don't think of, because many people, when they think of rich, they think of monetary things, of money. And that is not always what it is in the meaning of what it is to be rich. And does money really buy happiness? How do you define rich? Do you have enough money to make your dreams come true? These are a few of the questions I explore in this book, which I've titled Living a Rich Life, because all of us are rich in many different ways, but sadly, some of us don't even know it. It is my hope that through this book, you will learn how to take a fresh look at yourself, your relationships, and the world around you. And you will see that you are truly surrounded by more riches than you could imagine in your wildest dreams. Do you think that what stands between you and your heart's desire is cash? Often it seems so real that we give up on our dreams, thinking we can't afford them. I know we believe if we could just win the lottery, collect a big inheritance, or win the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes, life would be different. Of course, money buys us all kinds of wonderful things, but what is it ultimately we are after? Aren't we going for a certain quality of life? How do you want to live and have your life be? What is it that truly matters to you most? For many of us, the answer is freedom. We want to be able to do what we want, when we want to do it. We may think making lots of money will give us security, and ultimately that will give us the freedom to dream of, we dream of. But sometimes security or possessions can actually cost us our freedom. Life can become about making more and more and having less and less time to enjoy it. I recently spoke to a group of lawyers. I felt a heaviness in the room, so I decided to ask how many of them were tired of being lawyers. Their hands flew up, about 90% said they wanted out. When I asked what was keeping them in, they told me they had to keep paying for their expensive toys, homes, cars, and boats, and they have no time to play with. We live in a society submerged in myths about money. In her book, Money Harmony, Olivia Milan lists the most common myths as money will buy us happiness, love, power, freedom, self-worth, and security. She suggests we explore our most prevalent money myths and see how they influence our life and our relationships. Olivia also recommends we see which of those beliefs and attitudes need to be modified. How does money affect how you live and the choices you make? I often hear the lament of money as a no-win scenario. If you have too little, you're always struggling to get more, afraid there won't be enough. On the other hand, if you have a lot of money, it's painful because you're always afraid you're going to lose it. There's never enough, and whether too much or too little, most of us never feel secure with how much we do have. Yoko Ono said, I'm sure that nothing was permanent. You don't want to possess anything that is dear to you because you might lose it. I can vouch for this. The man in the cave. A man was sitting and meditating in a cave. One day a visitor came and, feeling sorry for the man for being all alone, gave him a cat. The man loved his new cat and soon realized he needed milk for the furry friend. So he went and got a cow. The cow needed a pasture. So the man got a farm. The farm needed farmland. And next came a family and many worldly possessions. One day the man finally remembered that all he wanted was to do was sit in the cave and meditate. I learned that I wasn't as attached to that stuff as I thought I was. Okay, let me just tell you that because I have a disability and because I struggled for gainful employment, there have been times that I have been homeless and that I've lost a lot of things. And I had, when I was living with my mother and working for the city of New York doing welfare recertification, I didn't have a lot of bills to pay, so I was able to secure jewelry for myself. Well, you know, items are items in that you can always replace them. And at the time when I needed to pay my electric bill, I had to pawn my things, and I was never able to get them out of the pawn shop. So what happened was, you know, I mean, in essence, I lost them, and I really lost the value of the property. And in my family's eyes, instead of saying, don't pawn your things, we'll help you, it's like, oh, their suggestion was go to the government for assistance. Like the government was just going to give you a handout because you were in need. That's not always true, because if you apply for Social Security, if you apply for SSI, it takes time. They're going to send you to their doctors. They're going to prove that you're truly disabled and you can't find gainful employment, and then they will help you. But what they help you with is minimal. So you just have to realize that, and as I learned, that I wasn't as attached to that stuff as I thought I was. I saw that my rings were just things, and at a certain level, things had no real value. What I mean is the love and heart connection that I had with my grandmother was unscathed. I completely surrendered to my loss and let it go. 3 days later, all my jewelry was returned to me. I felt like it was a miracle, although the process wasn't so magical. It included a police report, search warrants, and pawn shop. The amazing part was having the actual experience that there is another way of dealing with life's so-called dramas. Throughout the entire incident, I maintained calm and dignity, and I learned so much. The Law of Riches. Shirley MacLaine said, perhaps the tragedy of the human race was that we had forgotten we were each divine. Every one of us is a divine human being. We have access to riches beyond our wildest dreams, and yet many of us measure our wealth only by our bank accounts and wallets. How limiting. Where are some other places to recognize wealth? Money is energy, and if you are in the flow of life, you are in the flow of abundance. But like so many things, if you don't recognize it, you won't experience it. This is a real-world conversation. I'm not talking about an esoteric concept or fantasizing about another dimension where you can acquire your dream yacht and live happily ever after. I am talking about knowing and experiencing yourself as a rich person so that the money and other resources will show up here where you need them. I want you to know and experience yourself as a rich person so you can be a magnet for wealth and opportunity. This is about doing the work in order to open yourself up to the magic and the riches that are everywhere. This is about reaping the rewards so money does not ever stop you from having what you want. Can you imagine this? Love, abundance, and wisdom are the three greatest riches of all. And if we remember that what it is, because in a lot of ways, I can't say that I was rich in love, because the family that I come from Love is a four-letter word. It's not a feeling, and it's not an emotion. I found that love through my friends, through outside sources. And then what would happen is because I would go out of my way for my friends because I was getting something from them, my sister would say, oh, she treats her friends better. But she would forget that the way she was treating me was showing me that she didn't want love. She didn't really know what love really means. And if you're rich in love, then you're rich in abundance and you're rich in wisdom. So we need to think about those things and think about how important they are to our life. The formula begins with trust and confidence. Trusting yourself and what you want and having the confidence to take continual steps forward is the path to making your dreams come true. Trust is a critical component. Trusting yourself, the process of life, and the natural timing and nature will give you access to a new relationship with ease and abundance. When we don't trust, we often sabotage the outcome or just plain miss the boat. As if your ship was about to come in and you didn't believe it was your ship, it could set sail without you. Once you learn to trust and believe in yourself, you can begin to understand and live what I call the law of riches. This acronym stands for love, abundance, and wisdom. The three greatest riches of all, love yourself, life, and others, unconditionally. Know that life is abundant and limitless, and live it fully and freely. Use your wisdom to learn and share, to grow and experience, and to say yes to life. Now, what I'm going to do here is go back and show you how you can use love as a way of understanding and accepting. Because when you love yourself and you respect yourself, then guess what? You will not let anyone else around you abuse you. And that's just it. If someone in your family is abusing you, it's most likely because they don't like themselves. They feel very insecure, and to make themselves feel better, they have to tear you down and make you feel less than who you are. So if you understand that about the relationship you have with that person, and you understand it's a bad relationship because they are not accepting of who they are and they don't like themselves. And when someone doesn't like themselves, then instead of tearing themselves down, they'll tear down the person around them. That's why so many of us, when we hear the takes in our head, the negativity in our head, we tend to believe them and we tend to buy into them, and then instead of finding personal success, we tend to find failure because we've bought into what someone else has told us only because they don't like themselves. So when you understand that, then guess what? You can really, really get yourself in a better understanding. And when you learn how to really love and respect yourself, then you can believe in your abilities to achieve almost anything you really want to achieve. In his prayer, Socrates wrote, "Dear Pan and all you other gods who live here, grant that I may become beautiful within and that whatever outward things I have may be in harmony with the spirit inside me. May I understand that it is only the wise who are rich, and may I have only as much money as my temperate person needs." Being rich and experiencing abundance. Here are 8 simple but not necessarily easy practices for being rich and actually experiencing abundance. Know that you are rich. Look for evidence in your life. Identify the ways and things that make you feel rich. Name them and express your gratitude for them. Actually, write out all the things in life that you have that are rich and rewarding. Another way to say this is count your blessings. How many times have you heard someone told you to count your blessings? Your blessings may include having good health, dear friends, being loved, your children, your dog, or the ability to do something that you love. Barbara Streisand once said, success to me is having 10 honeydew melons and eating only the top half of each one. Know that what you want is on its way to you now. Declare that you are making progress on your dreams. Recognize the signs that demonstrate this to you. If you have taken one single step to make your dream happen, you are in action. Practice shifting your attention to recognize the richness of life. Write down your accomplishments or each step that you can that you take each day. Make sure that each and every fiber in your being knows for sure that you are on your way. Don't kid yourself or rip off your riches by looking at what you haven't done. If you are in action, you are on your way. Practice generosity. Probably the single most important thing you can do to acquire riches and feel abundant is to share the wealth and share yourself. Emerson said, without a rich heart, wealth is an ugly beggar. Be as generous as you possibly can with your time and your money. When you make money, give some back. Buy presents, pay finder's fees, or contribute to charities and worthwhile causes. It absolutely will come back to you many times over. The writer Florence Scovel Shin said, giving opens the way for receiving. Also know that to be in service is to be generous. Feel the way in your heart and soul as you share your precious gifts. Feel your capacity to give, grow, and know that your capacity to receive is also growing. And I'm going to break here, and I'm going to talk about gifting, because recently you started hearing about a lot of gifting programs on the Internet come into existence. Part of that's because we're in a down economy, and if I have a few dollars and I can help someone else and then have two or three or four people pay it forward to me, then guess what? I'm making back what I've given, but I've been willing to pay it forward, understanding that when I pay it forward, things will come back to me because it's the laws of reciprocity. And it's just good to realize. And if you don't have money to give away, that doesn't mean you can't give away something, because your time is worth money. And when you give your time to someone, you're still giving them something. Realize that every breath and every step you take is filled with riches. The earth and air are everywhere. How much more do you need? Go to the ocean and see what limitless possibilities look like. Anytime I begin to worry about not having enough money, I go back to basics. I go to the beach. Know that you are one with the air, one with the earth, and one with the ocean. Really, know in your body and soul that there is more than enough, and your share is more than you will ever need. Reconnect to the truth of who you are and feel your abundance. Sometimes the worry dissipates, and sometimes, like the ocean, it ebbs and flows. I noticed that worrying doesn't change my financial status, but it does waste my time and energy. Although worrying doesn't serve any useful function for me, I know for some it feels worthwhile, and for others it's a way of life. I was taking a walk with my mother. She has worrying down to a fine art and had that look on her face. I asked, what are you worrying about, Mom? Nothing right now, she replied, but give me a minute. Whatever your preference and pattern is, practice shifting your attention to recognizing the riches of life and how this affects your outlook and your existence. Although initially it may not feel like you are accomplishing anything, as you actually begin to feel the riches of everyday life, you will come to know wealth way beyond dollars. Know your heart and feel the abundance in your heart. Put your hands at the center of your chest and feel how rich you are. Know that you are rich in love, and you will know that you are rich in life. Acknowledge all the people and things that you love and that love you. Even Rose Kennedy said, I married for love and got a little money along the way. Feel your death, your compassion, and your unconditional love. Can you even imagine a container big enough to hold all this love? And as you feel it, it continues to grow. And as you share it, it continues to grow. This is a never-ending supply of riches. Can you think of anything more valuable than love? How much more do you need? Do the little things in life that make you feel rich. Buy yourself gifts. Keep a $50 bill in your wallet or take yourself on a vacation, even just for a day. Volunteer your time. Plant a tree, play with your dog, or take an afternoon off from work to be with your partner, your kids, or yourself. Do something just for fun, for the fun of it. Do something just because you want to or for no good reason at all. Keep a list of your favorite things to do, and when you decide you need to or want to, go for it. Know that there is priceless freedom in doing what you want. Make your home beautiful. Whether you fill your space with plants or artwork, have your home be a reflection of your riches and all the beauty that is in your life. Gardening and putting your hands into earthy soil can also be very fulfilling. Treat yourself by having flowers and a bottle of your favorite champagne on hand and consider just celebrating life. Keep some of your favorite foods in the refrigerator and indulge. Eat a hot fudge sundae. Little things go a long way here. Hold an image in your mind that you are rich and abundant. This is probably the most important point. Practice feeling this in your entire being. Know that you have the power to do this and feel it. Use meditation or visualization tapes or books to help you get a very clear image of yourself as the rich you. See yourself as a king or queen. Play with the idea of being in a limo or on your own plane if that turns you on. But also look beyond that. See the jewels in your eyes and your smile. Feel your golden heart and see it get bigger as you breathe in the limitless riches of life and who you are. After publishing my first book, I didn't really consider myself a writer and didn't until recently when I was at the beach writing. On this particular day, I had my hair pulled back in a French braid and was wearing a serape skirt and sandals. Seated on my balcony, I was typing away when suddenly I stopped and glanced over at the nearby mirror. What I saw in the reflection amazed me. I saw a writer, and it was me. It was how I always pictured I would look, sort of Hemingway-ish. From that day forward, I felt that I was indeed a writer. Create a wonderful, majestic image of yourself and step into it. Know this is the truth of who you are. Know this about yourself. Practice believing that this rich person is who you really are. Create a wonderful and majestic image of yourself. Pennies from heaven. You never know where magical money opportunities might show up. Are you willing to have money miraculously materialize in your life? Recently, I received a phone call from a man who had just finished reading my book, Making Your Dreams Come True. He called to share what he considered a miracle. He quickly pointed out that he had never had a miracle happen in his life until now. When he came across my book, he was at a low point in his life. Recently divorced, he felt dejected and lost. He worked through the exercises, reconnected with his passion, and began to create and clarify a wonderful new business dream. Meanwhile, his sister, who was a pianist on a cruise line, had been inviting him on a free cruise to Acapulco. Until this point, he was too depressed to go. Now feeling a little more optimistic, he decided to make the trip. On board, he followed what I believe to be my most important suggestion. He shared his dream with an elderly woman. She liked him and his idea so much that she decided to help finance his new business venture. She gave him a check for $100,000, no strings attached. When I asked him what he learned and how he felt, he gave me a terrific response. You're never too old to have a miracle happen in your life. And how about those people who create money or wealth out of nothing? Here's a great story illustrating how one man's trash truly can be another man's treasure. The richest and most precious commodity I know is something you already possess. It is gold, and it is priceless. When you understand this, fully own it and master using it. There is nothing that you will not be able to obtain. What is it? Your words, what you say and what you do about what you say are two of the most powerful forces available. My golden rule is this. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Be true to yourself. Learn to listen to your heart and soul and to speak up for yourself. Ask for what you want and need. Take a stand for what you believe in and what really matters to you, and don't back down. Be willing to be a lone voice in a crowd and never, never sell out on yourself. It often takes courage and practice to do this. But the reward is far greater than getting what you want. You become a model to yourself and to others of someone who is true to themselves. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God didn't just throw the switch. First, he declared it. Declare your dreams with all the conviction you can muster. Speak powerfully about your dreams, and notice how people respond and what happens. When President Kennedy said, "We will put a man on the moon before the end of the 1960s, we wondered how or thought this an impossible task, but he knew it was an idea whose time had come, and from his conviction, the words and the dream became a reality. This brings me to the second half of the formula, and it is essential. Do what you said you would do. This is where credibility comes from and where many of us fall short. Two women I know once returned from Nairobi and shared a wonderful story with me. Several months before, they had written to a Zamburu tribe woman and asked if she could meet them upon their arrival to her small village. She replied that she would rendezvous with them at a very specific place and she would wait for them all day. Once they landed in Africa, they realized it would take them 7 hours by public transportation to reach their destination. They were sure that this woman would be long gone. Upon arrival, there she stood. True to her word, she literally waited at that spot all day long. Keeping your word is how you show others that you are serious about your intention, and that's one reason why they might help you. But most important, this is how you show yourself that you are accountable. This is where you demonstrate that your word is powerful because you honor what you say. You use it to create, and it works. Often, the more your life is in order, the faster and easier your ability to manifest seems to be. During these times, almost as soon as you say what you want to ask for what you need, it shows up. When your home, your business, and your relationships are solid and working, your integrity is fully intact. Integrity means whole and complete. If there is some area of life that is a mess, the ease and flow often get caught up in the gook. This is a great incentive to keep things honest and clean. By the way, let's not disregard the power of chaos as a force. Although I am an advocate for being clear and complete. Let's honor and respect the magic and energy behind a creative world. Let's be open to order and chaos and practice welcoming and using both. And I want to take a short break here, and I will be back in the next minute. And I want to remind you that you can go to my website, onepersonalcareercoach.com. And I would like to welcome you back to our last segment. Keeping promises and agreements is a critical component for maintaining the value of our golden word. One of my mentors was preparing to fly to New York to give a client presentation. While she was there, she agreed to let a young man pick her brain about a big life choice he needed to make on short notice. My friend's meeting was canceled. Now she was flying to New York just to meet with this man, and we all know that time is money, right? Wrong. Our relationships are as important as the results we produce, and nothing is more important than keeping our word. She got on the phone and set up some other appointments to make the trip more worthwhile, but the main reason she went to New York was because she said she would. During their meeting, this man realized what she had done. His eyes filled with tears as he told her that he was blown away by her generosity. She asked him to pass it on, to remember that his word and promises were priceless and to be an example to his generation and to others. They agreed, and so do I, that if we live by the principle that what we say really matters, this could change what's not working and create a more peaceful, loving world. By the way, this young man's dream is to be president of the United States, and he's got it what it takes. Imagine this attitude in the White House. So although the trip actually cost her a few bucks, she told me it was an invaluable experience and a reminder of what matters most to her. That's why she's my mentor. She's always looking, learning, sharing, and teaching what she values. The Italian novelist Natalia Ginzburg wrote, being moderate with oneself and generous with others. This is what is meant by having a just relationship with money, by being free as far as money is concerned. Our contributions to others and the examples we set will chart the course and future of our society. Along the way, the single most powerful and interesting we can each do personally is to keep our word. I believe there is limitless opportunities for each and every one of us, and that abundance is within our reach. This new dimension is where we are headed. If you are ready to deepen your trust and belief, broaden your horizons and boldly go where you have never before ventured, then it's time for you to reclaim your treasures here and now. Abundance is within your reach. Insight. Possessions can often be heavy burden without a lot of value. We have access to riches beyond our wildest dreams and are limiting ourselves if we measure our wealth only by our bank account. Look for evidence in your life to know that you are rich. Practice the law of riches, love, abundance, and wisdom. Know that what you want is on its way, and you now look for evidence to support your belief. Be as generous as you possibly can with your time and money, and it will come back to you many times over. Realize that every breath and every step you take is filled with riches. Know that you are rich in love, and you know that you are rich in life. Do the little things in life that make you feel rich, including taking great care of yourself, your body, and your home. Know that you have the power to live your life, your dreams, and living and actually picture yourself here. You are never too old or too young to have And I am sorry about this, but my phone cut off on me again, and it seems to be a terminal thing. Anyway, you are never too old or too young to have a miracle happen in your life, and if one happens within 100 miles of you, take credit. The richest and most precious commodity of getting what you want is your word. Say what you mean and mean what you say, and you will have direct access to extraordinary power. And what I want to do is also remind you that, guess what? People forget, and they often think about rich as being dollars and cents. And we were just talking about how you can be rich in love and abundance and wisdom. And that's why education is important today. When you are educated, then guess what? You really understand where your life is. You understand how you can be successful in all your choices. And you can often make the right choices if you just understand how to live and live your life to the fullest. And we often forget that we need to live our life to the fullest. We need to learn how to believe in ourselves, how to accept who we are and where we come from, and live and breathe and understand that giving doesn't always have to be monetary. And how we live our life, how we accept the things that we really believe in, guess what? You can often begin to learn how to believe in yourself and build your self-confidence. The first thing you really need to do, which I wanted to explore, is how to learn to love yourself. And that means how to really learn how to believe in yourself, in who you are, in what you're capable of. And it's a matter of giving of yourself. We often think of rich as being money, and we just discussed, you know, how people think about money and how they look at it. You find people that because they really don't like themselves, they look at someone who is rich, and they're often going to make rude and crude remarks about them. Why? Because they're jealous. Do you really want to be jealous of someone else and what they have? Because guess what? You can be just as rich as they are. It may not be in monetary things, but you can be just as rich. You don't have to compare yourself to someone. If you really love and respect yourself, if you have self-esteem and self-confidence, then guess what? You're just as rich as they are, because you may even be richer than they are. Because even though they have the money, they may not have the respect for themselves. They may not really, you know, they're just doing it for the prestige it's going to give them, because that's the image that you have in your head. Just think about what happens when on TV shows when they talk about some of these entertainers. Think about how when they turn into drugs and alcohol, it's given to them because it's available, because the dealers are looking for an avenue to make money by giving it to them, so that it helps them feed into their insecurities and helps them gain more self-esteem. Although it's a false self-esteem, guess what's going to happen? You're going to not understand how to love yourself, how to respect yourself, how to believe in who you are. And this is something that you can learn and you can believe in. And it doesn't have to be monetarily. And there's always avenues available. And when you think about it, there's been a lot written about the job market And when you think about the job market and where it is, often when we want to make our dreams become reality, we need to change our outlook. We need to change our thought processes. We need to learn to believe in who we are. And this often comes in how we see ourselves and our self-esteem. And if you, there are exercises that you can do that can really help you to learn to build your self-esteem, to lose that negative things that you have. So what are some of the things that you can bring to the table in a relationship that can be giving someone something? Because what you give someone, what and it could just literally be your time. You know, it's last year when my sister went, got a new car, to her, because her time doesn't mean anything, and she was looking to save money, she spent the, what it took her in gas money to get up 300 miles just to get a, save $1,000 on a car. It was a day up there, a day back. It was gas and, you know, it was buying meals. And then in the end, when she had to transfer her tag from one car to the other, because she got her car out of state and she didn't pay the tax on the car to the dealership within the state, guess what happened? She paid it to the tag office. So you, even though you think you're saving money, you really are not. So if you're going to look for ways to penny pinch, all you're doing is you're damaging yourself. You're damaging how people will view you. Here's another example of how in that same situation where they're damaging their credibility. For instance, my sister saw where Macy's had these gift cards. If you were standing at the door when the doors opened and you were the first 100, you got a gift card to go in and buy something, because what they were doing was looking for an avenue to create business for themselves. So when you do those things, guess what? You're also creating an avenue for yourself where you are losing credibility, because guess what? They got the gift cards. They went in the store. They combined the gift cards. They bought an item. Then they waited till they got, she got back home, went to a totally different store, and then wanted to return that item and not only get what she paid for, but get the discount that she got from the gift card. But guess what? The store changed their software. So now when she went in, she found out that they were not going to give her the money back that she paid for it and the money that she saved on it. They were only going to give her a credit. So guess what? Then she had to take the item that she bought, turn it in, and get something for herself. So she really did, you know, and what she's doing was when she's doing that, she's creating, or she's setting herself up that people are going to know who she is when she comes in that store, and they're going to not want to deal with her because they're going to know that she's a schnauzer, that she's someone who doesn't understand how and why what it is that she's doing that's wrong, because in her mind what she's doing is right. And we just need to understand who and where we come from and how we look at things. And in the last 14 minutes of the show, what I want to do is also go back and say that this weekend is Labor Day, and in this week also starts Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, and often Jews will go back and they will reflect on what happened in the past year, what things they did that were wrong, what things they did that were right, and then it culminates with 10 days later on the 18th, which is going to be Yom Kippur or Kol Nidre, when you go in and you basically say the prayers where you atone for your sins. And this is, you know, whereas in Christianity, they believe that that Jesus died on the cross to atone for the sins of all, so they don't have to. That was, and often I will have people tell me, oh, if you just accept Jesus Christ, you're a more complete Jew. Well, guess what? That's the beginning of Christianity, is to accept Jesus Christ. So if I don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and I was raised in the Jewish faith, you're not going to tell me that how I pray to God is wrong, because that is my reality of my faith and what it has accomplished for me. I grew up with a disability at a time when society told me that people with disabilities didn't exist, and they were basically, in essence, less than human in society's eyes. Society didn't even recognize that it had a community of people with disabilities. They didn't educate you. They did not see employment as a capability. So remember, having a dream, having the abundance and riches does not always mean the richness of the monetary. And in essence, my father was a lawyer, so we lived rather comfortably. And my mother came from a family where they were poor, not really in any other way but monetarily, and because my grandmother had low self-esteem because she came from a family where there was a lot of abuse, and she passed that on to her children, then guess what? In my mother's eyes, she still sees herself in the same way that my grandmother did. I was once asking my mother for some help, and what she got in her remark to me was, I have it and you don't. So what is that telling you, and how can that be something that someone says to their own child? And my mother once said to a neighbor of mine whose children had died, and she had no idea because she never asked her whether she had any children. And she said to her, I wish I never had any children. And for someone, that's such a coldness and lack of understanding that here it is that you have someone who had been very close to her son. The daughter died at 3 days old, when she was 3 days old, from meningitis. And the son died when he was 20 years old, in a car accident with someone, a drunk driver. So in essence, she had no one, no children. Her husband had died, so she was alone, and all she had was her relatives. So she would often drive from Atlanta to Athens to go help her aunt out until her aunt died. And then because she had been very close to her friend, and her friend's children looked at her as Aunt Juanita, that when she was alone, they, in essence, became very close and became her children. And, you know, what you can be rich is in family. And it may not be your immediate family. It can be your friends. So love and abundance can also mean having family and recognizing where your family comes from. So how are you going to think about what is a rich life for you? How are you going to look at those things and plan for it? How are you going to think about what it is that you can do to change things so that you can have abundance? And remember, you can have a lot of money, and that's really great because that gives you the opportunity to do the things that you really want to do, but you don't always have to have money to have abundance and to really love and respect where you're coming from. So think about these things and look at ways that you can take and improve them. And remember, we are going into the high holy days in the Jewish religion. It starts on the 8th, and often when you go to services, they will, because the synagogues look to use the holidays as a way of raising funds for the use of the shul, that and the activities, they will often sell tickets, but many times they will also allow people to come in who can't afford to. When I lived in Atlanta, I would often contact Shemar Yisrael, and I would get tickets without having to pay for them because I did not have the money, so they were not denying me the right to go to the services. Now, this particular synagogue, they did not have a building that they used for weekly services. They often would have services at the Jewish Community Center. So on High Holy Days, what they would do is they would go to a hotel and they would rent space there for the holidays. So that and then whatever money they raised through selling tickets, that's how they paid for it. But they often would give out tickets even if the individual couldn't pay for it. And it was very important to me because there's always certain traditions like the shofar being blown, and that's the ram's horn. And it allows you, and what it does is it's a way of welcoming in the new year and that we're all looking forward to new and abundant things happening for ourselves. So, and this was also a time for me to reflect on where I was last year, where I am now, how things are better, how they're going to be better, what are things that I plan to do. You know, often we do that in January and late December because that's the dawning of a new year. But on the Jewish calendar, the September is often the beginning of the new year. So for me, and this to me is very much an important aspect of where of the faith and how I can see myself as being rich in my religion and my faith, because your religion and your beliefs in your religion are very much a part of who you are and how you can see abundance. Because if you listen to the teachings of your religion, often that is the way that you learn about life and what is important to you and how the outlook that you have in where you want to be. And there's many a times things that I've heard people tell me that, you know, and some of the teachings, and depending on which whether it's Baptist or Presbyterian, sometimes you have, and remember, Catholicism was the beginning of Christianity, and that's the true, and that believes in the virgin birth, and how God is the Father of Jesus. So often when you think about how the different religions have slightly different ways of thinking about it and their teachings, so remember, you can be rich in religion just as well as you can be rich in love and in wisdom and in abundance. So it's what are your beliefs? How are you going to use these beliefs to really learn and accept who you are and where you want to be, how you are going to buy into it and get where it is that you want to be. And remember, being rich in love does not always mean your family, because your family, although they're supposed to love you, that can be the place where you have the most jealousy and the most infighting. So you could be rich in love through friends and through people that you work with, because they can be the people that really want to help you and really want to see you succeed and feel that they can get and show you how you have a lot to give to them, even though it may not be monetarily. And why does money have to be how we see ourselves in our financial situation? And remember, you have Warren Buffett, you have Bill Gates. They're rich monetarily, but what have they done with their money? They are the biggest philanthropists in giving their money away to help others live a better life. So, and that's because they have the opportunity to do that. And think about it. Before Bill Gates built Microsoft, he just happened to have a strong knowledge of math and sciences. When he came out,
and he was in college, he was a college dropout because they couldn't teach what he does. It was an idea. It was something that was an abstract object. And today they could teach it because they understand how math and sciences all turn together and how it creates a language of its own in development of the software. But what they've done is they've made money on their ideas. How many inventors have invented things that have been flukes that have never been successful? And then you have the Ford family. They developed the car. And look how technology and expansion has changed that. Think about how the internet and the computer has opened doors today. These are things that were 10, 15 years ago, they were just science fiction. Today, it's all a reality. So these are also things that can help you understand how, when you understand how to use business, when you understand how to use the internet, when you understand how to use the knowledge that you've built over life, you can be just as rich and you can be just as fulfilled, because all of these are things that you can pass along to someone else. And your knowledge that you can give them is going to make them rich in other ways. It may not be monetarily, but it may be in their self-esteem, and it may be in what they do down the future to help someone else. So remember, love and abundance and wisdom can come in many forms, and how you accept it, how you look at it, and how you use it to really expand on where you are today and where you want to be in the future. That is very important. And let me just reiterate in this last minute that I will be doing my show next week, because it's Thursday and Friday that are Rosh Hashanah, and on the 18th I will not be doing this show because that is Yom Kippur, and I will be fasting on that day, and that is also the day that is the holiest of the new year. So we will come back next week, and we will be discussing we will be talking about accessing your power through dreams. And that means that accessing your power is, you know, how do you be true to you and your self-awareness, and how do you focus in on where you are and what it is that you expect to do to achieve your goals in life. And I would also like to take this last few minutes to remind you that you could go to my website, and that website is onepersonalcareercoach.com.